God is with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Sometimes when we don't like the way that a story ends, our first impulse is just to change it. Sometimes the change only happens in our own memories of a story. For example, when I was a kid, I loved the movie The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Quasimodo was one of my favorite characters ever. I had his face on my pillowcase. I loved Quasimodo. And I wanted him to get everything he ever wanted. And so in my little young memory, I was sure, I would have told you so, he wound up with Esmeralda in the end. It wasn't until I rewatched the movie as an adult that I realized, wait a minute, Phoebus winds up with Esmeralda. I was horrified, I was heartbroken, I couldn't believe it. I had literally altered the story in my memory to give it the ending that I wanted. Sometimes this sort of thing happens more than just in the memories of young girls. The first draft of Charles Dickens' Great Expectations was soundly rejected by critics and readers. It was a total failure because it had a sad ending. The two main characters go their separate ways. They break up, if you will. So to ensure that the book would actually sell, Dickens changed the ending. He had the happy couple ride off together into the sunset, and the rest is history. And though the original ending can still be found, it's rare. And chances are, if you've got the book sitting on your shelf, it's the rewrite. Unless you think there are some authors or works that are too important or too well known to fall victim to such revisionist history, think again. Because if it could happen to the Gospel of Mark, it could happen to anyone. Or anything. The passage Ginny read for us today is where the book ends. That's the last sentence. They run away terrified and they don't say anything to anybody. The end. It's unsatisfying. It's unresolved, so much so that a later author added a few more sentences to the story. A bit about Jesus appearing to Peter, because you couldn't just take the woman's word for it, right? A bit about Jesus sending the disciples on their mission to baptize and cast out demons. A bit about Jesus ascending into heaven. And all that stuff is great. Pretty reminiscent of the other gospel accounts, but it isn't where Mark wanted the story to end. If you don't believe me, which that doesn't hurt my feelings if you don't, you can take a look at your own Bible later. It'll have everything after verse 8 in brackets, with a footnote about how that is a later addition. But it still made it into the Bible nonetheless, which I think says a lot about Christians and their discomfort with uncertainty. But let's play editor's advocate, if you will, for a second. Why in the world would Mark end the greatest story ever told like that? So the women ran away screaming and Jesus was nowhere in sight, the end. Did Mark have an unfortunate accident before he could finish? Did he lose his mind? Was he playing a prank on all of us? As tempting as it is to think that, and as tempting as it is to give in to the impulse to resolve and smooth over, I believe that Mark said exactly what he wanted to say. I think it was all very much on purpose. See, if we see Mark as just a biography, or a history textbook, then the ending doesn't make any sense. But what if Mark had something bigger than that in mind? The gospel, according to Mark, isn't just some book destined to spend most of its dusty days on a shelf. No, I think Mark meant this book to be an invitation to all of us. We've journeyed with Jesus to the garden, to the trial, to imprisonment, to torture, to crucifixion, to resurrection. We are up to speed on everything Christ has done for us. And now it's our turn. Because we can't rely on somebody else to Rome and the religious authorities like Jesus did? What if nobody else tells the story? Well, we have to be the ones to carry the torch forward. We have to tell the story, because what if no one else will? That's the feeling we're supposed to get from the end of this gospel. Mark's gospel doesn't leave us the option of letting somebody else take care of it, letting somebody else proclaim the kingdom of God or teaching and healing and loving. Mark makes it very clear that all of that is our job. It's the job of anybody who comes across the story that Mark has written down for us. It's the job of anyone who sees in Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It doesn't matter if you're one of the special disciples that Jesus sent on a special mission or not. If you have heard the truth, you are responsible for the truth. Plain and simple. And maybe it's that responsibility that we wish to foist from ourselves by rewriting Mark's ending. Maybe we yearn for certainty because we'd rather hear a story that's already over than a story we have to continue. Maybe we don't believe we have what it takes to enter the story. Maybe we know it would mean leaving our comfort zones, whatever our fears or our hang-ups. Mark doesn't have time for that. He's true to the unresolved, still unfolding story of God's love for the world, whether we like it or not. Now, there have been times in literary history where the temptation to edit away or scrap anything outside of what people want to hear has been resisted. Stephen King threw away his first novel without letting anybody read it. It was a little book called Carrie, you might have heard of it. He thought it was too dark, that no one wanted to hear about the damage we do when we bully people who are different, or the trauma that religious fervor divorced from grace and love can cause, so he tossed it. Later, his wife noticed the manuscript sitting on top of the garbage pile, and she fished it out and read it. Thank God for nosy spouses. She told him, "Steve, this is better than good. This is great." Darkness, harsh reality, and all, she convinced him to publish it, and the rest, well, if he started off down the road of toning down his writing to make people more comfortable, he wouldn't be the best-selling author in the world. He has his wife to thank for that. And if there's anything in us that feels that pull to pick up where this gospel story leaves off, to go share the good news, to bring healing and wholeness, to proclaim a hope for newness of life that not even death can overrule, and to not let anybody else do it in our place, we have Mark to thank for that. Christ is risen indeed, but that isn't where the story ends. For us, that's where the story begins.